Let's begin the Akdama to Hilchos Shechita, the Mitzvah Shechita. So the pasuk you guys saw, I'm not sure if you guys went through the Mamre Komos or went right in the Gemara or started the Gemara, but the pasuk tells us, V'zavachta mipkarcha niyutzoncha ashenasen Hashem lecha kasher tzivisicha v'achalta. So there's a inyan to do zvicha, zvicha, zvachim is Shechita, another word for Shechita. The Mitzvah or an inyan to do Shechita before you eat it. So the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah. The Rambam in Mitzvah Aseh Kuf Mem Vav says there's a Mitzvah Aseh Deraisa of Shechita. And the Rambam writes that Lishchol Behema Chayv Of V'Achar Kach Yechel Besaron in the Minyan HaKatzar, there's a mitzvah to shecht an animal before eating it. So the Ravid comments that doesn't make any sense because Ein Zeh Ein Lo Tam V'Ulai Lav Haba Michlal Aseh Aseh. So Ravid is not comfortable with counting this as a mitzvah asay, but he says maybe because it's a lav above michal asay, it becomes an asay. What does he mean by that? What's a lav above michal asay, asay? What does that mean?
It's also to eat a non-shechted animal. So if you don't shecht this, then you would go, it would lead yourself to violating.
Right, so there's a lav of nevela. Is it there? I said there's a lav lo asay of eating nevela. So there's an assay in order to undo the lav, is the assay of shechita. So if you don't do shechita, in other words, you eat the animal without doing a shechita, so it becomes a lav above michal assay. So it's not that there's a requirement to do shechita, but if you don't do shechita, so then you violated an isra assay, it seems. That's the Ravid's comment. So what's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid? Whether or not there's a mitzvah assay or just simply a lav Habab Michal say. So what is the Kesem Mishnah? Anyone see the Kesem Mishnah?
I just have a quick question. Just the term Lav Habab Michal say, how does that fit with that translation? Like the actual words.
A Lav that is inferred from an Asay. So Asay means to do Shechita, which indicates that if you don't do a Shechita, so you violated the Asay. So the Kesem Mishnah writes that he thinks the Machlokis between the Ram and the Ravid is, in general, whether or not you count a mitzvah kiyumis. Now, he doesn't use the language kiyumis, but he says as follows. Nira shetamo, he's explaining the shita of the Ravid. Shein zu mitzvah michuyeves. It's not a chiv to do. It's a kiyumis, as we call it. It's a rishus, it's voluntary. So the Ravid holds that you never count a mitzvah kiyumis. That doesn't count as mitzvahs. Shim yiratza shalalach abasav. He doesn't want to eat meat. He wants to be vegetarian, or he doesn't have to shecht. So therefore, the Ravid has to think of some other reason why to count this as one of the mitzvahs. Namely, it's a lav abamachla asay. That there's a lav, there's a los asay of eating nevela. So this becomes just a flip side of that lav. But to say that there's an asay, a chiyuvis to count a mitzvah, there's no obligation to do shechita. There's no chiyuv to do shechita. Everyone agrees there's no chiyuv to do shechita. So the machlokas is whether or not you count a mitzvah kumis. That's the machlokas according to the Kesef Mishnah. It's a general machlokas. Do you count mitzvah kumis or do you not count mitzvah kumis? Now this, of course, is going to open up a whole big discussion. What about tzitzis? Everyone agrees tzitzis is a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah kumis pashup shot. But another indication of this, if you look at that other Rambam in Ravid in Kuf Mem Tes, there's another mitzvah. This is a very strange mitzvah. Rambam writes in Kuf Mem Tes, Livdok Bissimani Behema, to check that you are eating a kosher animal. That's a very strange, that's a mitzvah, to check that it chews its cud and has split hooves. That's a very strange mitzvah. So Ravid once again says that Kol Livdok Ein Lehem Tam. Ella, again, it's a lav haba mechal asay. You don't have to go around checking cows to make sure that it chews its cud and has split hooves. What kind of mitzvah is that? So the Kesef Mishnah says, the Machlokas Rambam Ravid here by Bedikas Simanim is the same exact Machlokas what he wrote on the Mitzvah Shechita. So it sounds like from, again, the Kesef Mishnah, there's a general Machlokas, do you count Mitzvah Kumis? So I don't want to get into every single application, that's going to be endless, but we have a number of places where this come up, and just have in mind that Kesef Mishnah, I want to focus more on Shechita, but just have that in mind, this idea of whether or not you count the Mitzvah Kumis, and keep in mind also that there are a number of kashas on this shot. But let's bring it more befrat in the world of Hilchos Shechita. So Rav Soloveitchik thinks that this machlokis, whether or not you count shechita as a mitzvah or not, it's not a machlokis really of whether or not you count a mitzvah kumis or not. He thinks it's really a machlokas how to understand the nature of shechitas chulin. That's the question. Shechitas chulin. Meaning, everybody agrees that shechitas kadshim is a mitzvah. There are dalet avodos in the Beis HaMikdash. We did a little kadshim last year, Maseches Yuma. I don't expect you to remember what we did, or those who were not here, you don't have to know. That's not required reading. But one of the dalet avodos is shechita. Shechita can be done by a non-kohen even. A zar could do shechita. So shechita in the world of kadshim is definitely a mitzvah. So now the question is shechitas chulin connected to shechitas kadshim? So the Rav Soloveitchik thinks that according to the Rambam, that shechitas chulin is connected to shechitas kadshim. And just like shechitas kadshim is a mitzvah, so too shechitas chulin is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah b'fnei atmo, but still is a mitzvah. And he's medayik from the Rambam. I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but in my notes here, he quotes some of the Sifri. You have that? Oh, shkoyach. So, in Kuv Mem Vav, he quotes the Sifri. The Sifri is the Medrash, by the way, in Bamidbar Devarim. Sifra is the Torah's Kohanim on Vayikra. The Sifri is the Medrash on Bamidbar Devarim. So he says, V'zavachta ma mukdashim b'shchita af chulim b'shchita. So it sounds very clear that there's a very strong hekesh between the shchita of kachim and the shchita of chulim. Shkoyach. The Ravid, on the other hand, thinks that no, that shchitas chulim is not connected to shchitas kachim. They're completely independent. And although shchitas kachim may be a mitzvah, he does not think that shchitas chulin has to be a mitzvah. And that's the understanding of the Rabbi. So there are a number of nafkaminas to this. I don't want to get too involved in kachim, but just one basic nafkamina, or at least a pshat in Gemara. The Gemara says that shchita lav avodahi. This is a phrase that appears a number of places in Shas. Shchita is lav avodahi. Why is it not an avoda? So Tosas writes in Tzvachim Daf Yudal Rebeis that since the shechita also exists in the world of chulin, so when it's applied in the world of shechitas kadshim, so then it's considered lav avodahi. The fact that you could do it else outside of the world of kadshim, meaning zrika, the other avodos of kadshim is kabbalah, there's holacha, and then there's zrika. Those are the final four. That doesn't exist in the world of chulin. They're exclusive to the world of kadshim. But shechita exists not only in kachim, but it also exists in chulim, and therefore it brings it down a level. It's lav avodahi. The fact that you could do it somewhere outside the Beis HaMikdash tells me it's not an avoda. That's the Tosos' understanding. Rashi, on the other hand, thinks, no. You know why shechita is lav avodahi? Because a zar could do it. The Gemara says, only mikabbalah ve'elech, in the world of kachim, does a kohen have to do kabbalah. He does holacha, he does zrika. But shechita may be done even by a zar, even by a non-kohen. So the explanation is that Tosos, who thinks the reason that shechita is lav avodahi is because since it exists bein b'chulin, bein b'kachim, because he thinks that the hekesh is a strong connection bein kachim, bein chulin. And that's his explanation why it's lav avodahi. Rashi, on the other hand, and Rashi is l'shitas, if you take a look at the Prima Gadim, Rashi holds this way in several places. Rashi holds that shechitas chulin is not a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, that means shechitas chulin is not connected to shechitas kachim. And since chulin and kachim are not connected, Rashi has to think of a different reason as to why shechita lav avodahi, namely that Rashi holds it's because since a zar may do the shechita, that's why it's called lav avodahi. And there are other areas as well, the Indian of Mesasek by Kachim, there's a Machlokas, Rashi Tosfos, also goes to Lishitasam. You take a look there in the Gemara in Tzvachim about Mesasek. Let's bring it back now to Shechitas Chulin. So right now we have Machlokas, Shechitas Chulin, whether or not you count it as a mitzvah asay because it's connected to Kachim, or it's a lav, habab michal asay, like the Ravid, because it's a nevela. But they both agree it's a mitzvah, just different types of mitzvahs. So then there's a Shechita of the Tosfos and Shavuos Daf, he quotes the shita of the Ritzba. Now the Ritzba says that shchita is not a mitzvah at all. It's not a mitzvah asay. It's not a lava bab mechal asay. It's simply a matir ba'alma. It's a matir. We have similar models to this as well. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim, for example, by tevilas kalim. Do you count tevilas kalim as a mitzvah or a matir? The Ravya, I forget, I think the Ravya holds it's a mitzvah or matir. Now I'm forgetting. I didn't look it up. But the Rav Yehuda holds one shita, and the other Rishonim argue on him whether or not Tevilas Kalim is a mitzvah where it's simply a matir. Without tevilas kelim, you can't use them. It's a matir, but it's not counted as one of the minyan hamitzvos. So the Tosfos holds that shechita is not a mitzvah, it's simply a matir. So this is supported by the Sefer. There's a Sefer called Zohar Rakia. There are a number of Rishonim who count the minyan hamitzvos. One of them is a Sefer called Sefer Zohar Rakia. He does not count shechita as a mitzvah. He counts kitzvah yadam, as we'll see in the afternoon, as a mitzvah, but he doesn't count shechita as a mitzvah. So pashup shad is because it's not a mitzvah. Shechita is simply a matir. We don't count matirs as mitzvahs. Rav does. He say he acknowledges it's a mitzvah. So that could be another pshat. But the Rav, it seems to acknowledge it's a mitzvah, but
the Zohar Akiya could also. He's just counting mitzvahs. He's counting mitzvahs that he would count. The Rav wouldn't count it either.
So it could. Well, the Rav maybe he does. It sounds like the Rav acknowledges that it's a mitzvah, and he doesn't necessarily argue on that you shouldn't count it. He just doesn't like the categorization of the Rambam. Unclear for Ravid. I mean, it's possible what Shimi's saying is that maybe the Zohar Kiyah agrees it's a lav above Michal Aseh, but we don't count those as mitzvahs. I mean, there's another reason why the Zohar Kiyah doesn't count it. Either because it's a matir, or it could be like the Ravid, it's a lav above Michal Aseh, but he doesn't count lav above Michal Aseh, which we have the different rules of how to count mitzvahs. The other explanation, which I'll just leave to touch upon right now to foreshadow for later on, that the Zohar Kiyah might include Shechita Bechlal, the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Yeah, they're connected. We're going to see in the afternoon how independent is Shechita and Kisei Adam. Are they two different mitzvahs? Is Kisei Adam the Gemar Shechita? So it's possible when the Sefer Zohar Kiyah counts Kisei Adam, he includes a mitzvah of Shechita within that. It's just not separate mitzvahs. But either way, it sounds from the very simple understanding, the fact that he doesn't include Shechita sounds like it's a matir, like the Shechita of the Ritzvah and Tosfos and Shavuos. So there may be nafkamina now, whether or not you count shechita as a mitzvah or simply a matir. So there's an inyan of a katan, whether the katan their role, but I'm going to wait on the katan for now. We're going to discuss this, I think, on Wednesday, the inyan of a katan and shechita, whether or not the katan's chayiv. Just our regular achas, on one hand, if it's an asay, a katan is not chayiv in asays. But the raisa, he's pater, we know from asays. But if it comes to a lav, so there's a whole din in the Achronim, even though he's pater from Aseis, he might be chayv in a lav. So then if it's a lav above Michal Aseh, like the Ravid, he might be chayv in that aspect. A kavtan might be have a chiv in Shechita. But if he's not, it's only an Aseh, he would be pater. Now what the relevance is, we're going to wait till later in the week to appreciate that more, but just keep that in mind. The discussion of the kavtan seems to hinge whether or not there's a mitzvah Aseh, or a lav, or maybe even a matir.
Doesn't the Ravid say that a lav
haba mechal aseh is an aseh? That's why I thought he would count it as a... No, but it's a different type.
But I'm saying, so, but it's still not a...
No, it's different because since the aseh, according to the Ravid, is attached to the iser, so then you can't separate the two. Since the katan's chayv, according to many, midirais of not eating lav of nevela, and the shechita connects to that lav of nevela, may he be included in that type of aseh. Okay, another one would be when a person, let's say, eats if one were to eat nevela. So how many isurim has he violated? So of course he violates the one lav of not eating nevela, but would he also violate the aseh of shechita? So according to the Rambam and the Ravid, he'd violate that as well, because those are mitzvahs. But if you assume like the Tosfos and Shavuos that there's only a matir, well, you've only violated one isur of nevela, but you haven't violated matir, you don't violate a matir. It doesn't get checked off as violating a matir. You just didn't get the matir of overriding the nevela. So now the Prima Gadim has a very fancy nafkamina now. So bear with me on this. I'm not sure if you guys saw this inside this Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim is psicha to Hilcha Shechita wants to know, can you make a shvua on a chatzi shir of something not shechted? Well, what's the case here? So he explains that according to the Tosfos and Shavuos, that the Shechita is simply a matir. So one who eats meat without a shechita, in other words, nevela, he violated nevela, and nevela only exists when there's a kazayas. Right? The iser of any achila is only kazayas. Chatzishir is also min haTorah, but that's not part of the shavuos. Look at the Gemara Yuma we did last year. So the iser of a lav is only after kazayas. Pachos mi kazayas, there's no lav of nevela, and you could take a shavuah. We know that a person cannot take a shvuah on something that already exists, that's usur. I can't say, I swear I won't eat nevela. It doesn't work. Because I already have to keep the Torah of not eating nevela. But I make a shvuah on a pachos mikazayis, pachos mikashir of nevela, it will be chal. Chal. A shvuah can be chal. That I will eat it, right. That we're not sure that I will not eat it. I'm taking upon myself a lav that I won't eat nevela, and I go ahead and eat nevela, do I violate that shvuah or not? Was that shvuah chal on pachos mikazayis? So he says, it's, if it's only lav, if there's a shchita is only a matir, and the only concern of the animal is a nevela, lav nevela, so that only exists if there's a kazayis. But pachos mikazayis, I have no obligation, minat Torah, I could take a shvuah on that pachos mikazayis. But if you assume, like the Rambam, that there's actually a mitzvah asay of shchita, in addition to eating nevela, I also have a chiv asay to do shchita on the animal, so then asay even is a chayv on a kolshu. Asay is a chal on any amount. It's not limited to kazayis. That shear of kazayis doesn't exist when you come to an asay. So that means when you shecht an animal, there's a ki maseh even on a kosher, even a pachos mikashir. And the shvuah will not be chal on that pachos mikashir. It's included right in the asay midaraisa. I know it's a little bit of a complicated nafkamina, but take a look there in the Prima Gadim, in the Psicha, Hilcho Shchita, Sharish Beis. A little simpler nafkamina. Whether, yes?
Wouldn't that assume that shchita on my acher is yotei mitzvah for me? Because someone else is doing it, but I can eat it.
If someone else does it for you, no, the one who does the ma'isa shchita, he's getting the mitzvah.
So he's getting the mitzvah, so then, but then if this is, if the Raman's connecting the mitzvah directly to the eating of the nevela versus not the nevela, then I shouldn't be able to eat someone else's shchita. Just like we're saying that pachos, if you need shchita on pachos mikzayis, because a shchita is a chiyuv.
No, if I take a shrua that I'm going to eat this meat that's not going to be shechted by whoever that is, so then that will be chal. I mean, I have a requirement to eat animals that have experienced a shchita. Even though you're doing that shchita, there's still, I have to eat that chefzer that has experienced such a mitzvah of shchita. Even though someone else is doing the shchita.
So why, if it's an assay, why would that have anything to do with you? I'm doing the shchita. So why are we connecting the two?
The isser assay ends up being on that I can only eat, or the assay for the Rambam, I can only eat an item, meat, that's been shechted properly. So therefore, it should be chal. That asay applies to whenever I eat something that wasn't shechted, I'm violating that asay of shchita. So the Minchas Chinuch has a much clearer nafkamina though. He wants to know whether or not would one violate the isser of the eating a nevela shelo kederech achila. So when it comes to any isser achila in the Torah, whether it's Achilles Dam, Achilles Chelev, Achilles Arla, all these different exceptions, look in the Gemara Pesachim, you don't violate the Isser if it's Shlok Kedarka. If you eat it in some abnormal way, you have not violated the Isser. Whenever the Lashon Lo Sochel, it only Bederech Achila, you violating it, not Shlok Kedarka Achila. But if you assume, in addition to when eating Nevela, there's a Lab of Nevela, there's also an Aseh of Shchita, which zavachta, there's no mentioning of achila. So even if you eat that item, shaloka derech achila, so granted you haven't violated the nevela iser, but you have violated the shchita, the iser aseya, or the aseya of shchita, because that is not limited to simply kederech achila. Another nafkamina is, the Rav Soloveitchik brings a nafkamina between lichachila and bidyevet. This is a very important yisod in general. Whenever you have nafkamina, it's between a mitzvah versus a matir. When it comes to Tfilas Kelim, mitzvah versus matir, there's always a very good nafkamina. Now, I'm not going to get involved in the background, look at the Tosos and Nida Daf Samach Vav Amid Beis, the Rebbe Maschil Kol. He says, when it comes to a matir, our focus is the end result. Is it mutter or is it not mutter? How that gets done, we don't really care, as long as it's mutter. So there's no concept of bidyevet lechachila, you're doing something that's lechachila bidyevet, we don't really care. As long as in the end of the day, you got the job done, it's about the totzah, so then it's fine. There's no distinguishing between lichachila b'dievet, how the ma'isa was done. But if something is a ma'isa mitzvah, so then we care very much how it's done. There's going to be levels of lichachila, and then there are going to be levels of b'dievet. Because a mitzvah is not only about the result, it's also about the ma'isa mitzvah. So having that idea in mind, he says there seems to be a machlokes in the Ramban and Rashi on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. This is the beginning, the very first mission in the second parak. The Mishnah tells us that when it comes to shechita, we're going to learn about this much more, but there are two simanim on an animal that you have to shecht. Two simanim. So when it comes to an oaf, the Mishnah says, all you have to do is one of the simanim, one of the veshet.
Either or.
So we're going to get, before we go to the trip, those who want to come, I want to probably learn these sugis a little bit, just to get a little bit clear of where the Maisa Shechita is and how this Maisa Shechita is going to take place. But the Mishnah says, Hashochet Echad Ba'of, one who shechs b'di'eved, one simen ba'of, Shechitasa K'shera. So the Gemara's Medayik, Hashochet di'eved in, b'lechachila lo. L'chachila, you shouldn't rely on one. L'chachila, you should shecht both simanim on the oaf. So if you look at Rashi, the Rashi says, L'chachila atzechu rabbanan. Rabbanan is the key word here. Tervayu mishim archaka l'aveira. Chachamim instituted that for the oaf, you should shecht both simanim just to be safe. But midaraisa, according to the Torah, you only have to shecht one. L'chachila b'di'eved, it doesn't make a difference. Midiraisa, l'chachila b'di'eved, one is enough. There's no distinction. Ramban isn't sure. Ramban has a suffix about this. Maybe l'chachila, really midiraisa, you should have to shech two. And only b'di'eved are you yodzei with just one. So Rav Soloveitchik explains, this machlokas seems to be about this inyan of matir versus a mitzvah. If you assume it's a matir, so then we don't care about how the mitzvah was done, the shechita was done. One simen, two. One simen, but the avid works. So why lechachila do two? Who cares? If one is the matir, so why would you go ahead and do two? So that's why Rashi holds on the deraisa level, lechachila you could even do one. It was only the chachamim who required you to do two. But midiraisa, there's no difference because it's all about a matir. That's Rashi l'shitasa, by the way. Again, Rashi holds all over, it seems, that it's a matir. But according to the Ramban, he's not sure. He thinks maybe midiraisa, even though b'di'eved, one is sufficient, but maybe midiraisa l'chachila, you should really do two. So there's a difference between l'chachila and b'di'eved on a deraisa level, and therefore the Ramban would seemingly hold that there's a mitzvah shechita, and there is a difference between deraisa versus derabanan. There's a very interesting Darche Tshuva. Darche Tshuva is a great sefer, if you haven't heard of it before, a beautiful sefer, a very important sefer on Shulchan Aruch. And he quotes an interesting idea, whether or not there's an inyan to chase after the mitzvah of shechita. We're going to be going, hopefully, in a few weeks. None of us are prepared to do a shechita. But is there an inyan to go ahead and try to perform a shechita once in your lifetime? You know, the Gra, whenever it comes to this, in general, when it comes to mitzvah kiyumis, should one go out of their way to perform a mitzvah kiyumis even though he doesn't have to? So we know the Gemara in Menachos tells us that even though you only have to wear tzitzis if you're wearing dal kanfos, four-cornered, but if you're not wearing, you don't have to put on tzitzis, the Gemara very much encourages that one should go out of their way to wear tzitzis. And one who doesn't wear tzitzis, then b'shas rischa, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry, so then a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes out punishment on those who don't wear tzitzis. Even though it's a mitzvah kiyumis, there's an inyan to be mahadir after mitzvah kiyumis. The Gra writes, and the Shabur quotes him, that on Pesach, even though there's only a mitzvah that first night of Pesach to have matzah, there's a mitzvah kumis the rest of Pesach. We should go, the growers made sure to always have matzah throughout the entire Pesach. We could get away without having matzah after the first night. You could just have potatoes and vegetables and meat, you'll be fine. But the Grah thought you should chase after the mitzvah, even though it's not a chiyuvis, to do a mitzvah kumis. The Mishabur has a safek, what about sukkis? He wants to know, he knows, Tesvav, there's a Gzer Shava connecting Sukkot to Pesach. So would the Gra also say, by Sukkah, you should make sure to eat a meal at least once a day in the Sukkah? You don't have to. If you want, you could get away with water and fruits, and never have to eat in the Sukkah outside the first night. But would the Gra say, you should go out of your way just to get a mitzvah kumis? The Gra also has brought down the Maaser Rav that he convinced a wealthy landlord to give him a Dal Badal Amos property in Eretz Yisrael to perform the mitzvah of Peah and Arla and all the other mitzvahs of Kedushas Haaretz. He went out of his way. There's no chiyuv. We don't have to go ahead and buy land in Eretz Yisrael to perform Peah and Arla and everything else. But the Gra felt that you should always chase after mitzvahs, even those that are only a mitzvah kiyumis. So what about when it comes to the mitzvah of Shechita, should you go after? So it's telling the same minion. If it's a mitzvah kumis like the Rambam, then you should try to learn. You don't have to, but there's an inyan to chase after the mitzvah. But if shechita is only a matir, so there's no need to go out of your way. If you have a certain cheshik to be a shochet, so then fine, go for it. But to go out of your way, if it's only a matir like the Tosfos holds in Shavuos, then seemingly there wouldn't be any inyan to chase after. But then the Darkei Tshuva says, even if you assume that shechita is a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah kumis, he thinks it may not be an afkamina, because maybe you shouldn't chase after such a mitzvah as shechita. Why not? Gemara Bamatia Pehahei tells us that Rebbe was punished when he wasn't chasen a certain eagle. There's a calf that was supposed to be shechted, and the calf was hiding underneath Rebbe's coat. And Rebbe says, very nice, sweet way, go do what you're supposed to do. You're here to be shechted, to be eaten. Go get shechted. In a very nice, gentle way. And he got punished for this. And there's another halacha, the Rama writes, that he's a question, should you say shechayanu the first time you do a shechita? He says you shouldn't, because it's mazik lebrios. You're damaging, you're ruining an animal, creation of Hashem. So even though there might be a mitzvah, there's some negativity associated with this mitzvah of lack of, you know, rachmanis, of being mazik lebrios, and therefore even though it's a mitzvah kumus, we wouldn't say go after it. It's no different than a mitzvah of gerushin. There's a mitzvah of, to perform gerushin when there's a need, but no one would say to chase after such a mitzvah, it's a mazik. Or there's also a mitzvah of arifas petach hamor. Person has a firstborn donkey, which, by the way, I've always wanted to do that mitzvah. You know, so there's one guy who, a wealthy guy I learned with, I always tell him, you know, could you just get me that donkey ready, and I'd like to really perform that mitzvah. So if you get a firstborn donkey, so there's a mitzvah, the Torah says, you're supposed to be poed down to a sin and give the set to a kohen. Now, if you don't want to do that, the other option is to do an arifa, you break its neck. Those are two options you have. The mission Bechorah says, and last mission, the first parak, mitzvah to do the pediah prior to the arifa. So even though the arifa is a mitzvah, we wouldn't say to do the arifa, don't go after the arifa, you go after the pidyon. If the guy has no se, or maybe there's no kohen, so then you're allowed to. Then, in fact, the Ravid, I think, goes against the Rambam there. Now it's coming back to me that the Ravid says that the Rambam counts arifas pedach hamor as a mitzvah. The Ravid says that's not a mitzvah. That's being mafsid mamon kohen. You're destroying someone's money. That's kohen's manas kuhuna. So even though there might be a mitzvah kiyumis in these items, and sometimes even mitzvah chiyuvis, if you have a pidon that you have no choice, was born to you, to your donkey, so you don't always chase after these mitzvahs if there's a mazik involved. But the simple reading is there seems to be a machlokes, so whether it's a, once you chase after it, is tali on whether or not there's a mitzvah kiyumis of a shechita, or it's simply a matir. Now, anyone know what bracha we say when doing a shechita? There's a bracha, by the way. You say a bracha on the shechita. What's the bracha? Anyone know? Asher kiddushan b'mitzosu v'tzivanu al hashechita. Could be lishchot, al we passing al hashechita. So we say, asher kiddushan b'mitzosu v'tzivanu. Sounds like it's a mitzvah, right? We don't say that by a matir. We don't say it by a shevach v'hodah. We only say tzivanu when there's a mitzvah. So everyone agrees. All the poskim agree. That's the nusach. So how are we going to explain, if it's a matir, why you would say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu? So the Rosh in Ksubis in Perak Aleph Siman Yud Beis, he already addresses this question. He gives two answers. And Nitziv in Hamik Sheila Shilta Kuf Os Yud, he explains that these two answers is taloi on whether or not is a shechita is a mitzvah or shechita is a matir. So what does the Rosh explain? The Rosh says, because since the pasuk says v'zavachta v'achalta, it sounds like it's a tzivoy. V'zavachta, you should do a zvicha. Sounds like it's a mitzvah. And that's why we count it as a mitzvah, and that's why the nusach is b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. But then he gives another explanation is, no. Since kachim, the world of kachim, you have to do a shechita, and you say a bracha of kachim on shechitas kachim, so because of a little plug, we say the bracha on shechitas chulin as well. But not because it's a mitzvah. It's just because it exists in the world of kachim. Sound like from the second answer, the Ravid says the Nitziv, that one does not, you don't assume it's a mitzvah. It's simply we say asher kiddushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu because of a low plug of shechitas kachim. But be'etzem shechitas chulin is not a mitzvah. There is a parallel to this idea. The Ravid in the end of Hilchos Brachos, maybe Perek Yud Aleph, there's a discussion about the Rambam talks about liv versus al. He talks about l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah, we say. That's the Nusach. And the Rav has a problem with this, why he used that term. It goes against the other sheet of the Rambam when you use liv versus al. And the Rav says, because since we say l'hadlik ner in the menorah, in the Beis HaMikdash, so we could also use that as a model of l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah. So we have such a precedence of where you use the model of Kadshim for outside the world of Kadshim. So even though Shechitas Chulin may not be a mitzvah and should not warrant mitzvos of Itzivanu, since a low plug from Kadshim, he thinks that would be a good explanation. You guys have time for more? Good? Okay. There's a few more nafkaminas. It's a good broad perspective of getting some of the ideas of Shechitin. There is a very well-known Taz you should know anyways. If not, now you'll know it, then it's good to be aware of this Taz. The Shulchan Aruch writes that one who is shomei of einu medaber, a person who's mute, he hears but he can't speak. Normally I'm going to stop at 12:15, I'm very makbid on that. But for the first hakdama, I want to get it all out for get the ball rolling a little bit here. I don't want to do 2 days on this. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens has shomei of einu medaber, one who hears but doesn't speak, he's a mute, he could be shochei lichatchila im adam acher mevarech. If someone else says the bracha, he could do shechita. He can't say the bracha, he's mute. So if someone says the bracha, he does a shechita. So that's the Shulchan Aruch's psak. But there's an Or Zarua that the Taz quotes that says it doesn't work. If someone else does a shechita and someone else says the bracha, it does not work. Why not? Why can one other guy say the bracha? We have all the time, afa pisha yotza motzi. The Taz asks this question. What?
If he can't do it,
he is metuvin eating shechita, nevela. He's certainly metuvin. He's just not capable of saying the bracha. So he said, "Ava b'shiyotza motzi." So he's saying that since he can't say the bracha, though, he's not capable. So he doesn't address that question. I think you are asking a good question. I think you really are. The Taz doesn't address that point. He just wants to know if a husband says kiddush at home, and now his wife wants to hear kiddush, he could say it again for "Ava b'shiyotza." He could be motzi here. So why don't we say the same thing here as well? That this guy who could speak could be Yomotzi, the guy who can't speak. So the Taz says there are two types of mitzvahs. There's mitzvah begufo, and there's mitzvahs that are not begufo. Mitzvah begufo, like tefillin, for example, and tzitzis, I can only perform myself. I can have you wear tzitzis or tefillin for me. That's mitzvah begufo. And then there are other mitzvahs which you could do al yidei shliach. You could have someone else do a shlichus for me. So he says as follows. Then when it comes to mitzvah begufo, so since he has to do the mitzvah himself, so then if the mute can't say the bracha, how is he going to wear tefillin? I mean, of course you could do mitzvahs without saying brachas. But if the guy can't say the brachas, and he can't wear the tefillin for me, so we could rely on that guy to say the bracha for me to do the mitzvah. So when it comes to tefillin, I don't know how we pass him in that world, but according to this logic of the Taz, it would seem that one who can't speak, someone else has the bracha of tefillin for him, he puts on the tefillin. But a mitzvah you could do through a shliach, let's say a bris milah for example. Bris milah, the avia ben has a mitzvah to do it, but he's also able to have a shliach, which in most cases the mo'el, the shliach of his. So in that case, if you're able to do it a shlichus, so we rather the shliach himself say the bracha and do the mitzvah. Why separate the bracha from the mitzvah if we don't have to? When it comes to mitzvah begufo tefillin, only I can wear the tefillin and he can say the bracha. You're forced into separating the bracha and the mitzvah. But in a case where the shliach could do the mitzvah as well and say the bracha, why separate the bracha from the mitzvah? And that's why, when it comes to the bris, the mo'el says the bracha of the mitzvah of milah. The father says a second bracha, that's a bircha sherech v'odah. But the bircha is a mitzvah? That's said by the mo'el, since he's the shliach, we don't want to separate the bracha and the ma'isa mitzvah when possible. So then he says, so the Shulchan Aruch, who says that someone else could say the bracha, he says a mute person could do the shechita, and someone else says the bracha. Why? Have the einu medaber doesn't need to do a shechita. He's not a mitzvah begufo to do a shechita. So have the guy who's saying a bracha do the shechita also. Why are we separating the shochet from the bracha when we don't have to? It's not a mitzvah begufo. So Taz is mechadesh that the bircha shechita is not a bircha mitzvah. When it comes to birchas mitzvah, we want the birchas mitzvah and the ma'isa mitzvah to be attached to each other. Bris milah is a ma'isa mitzvah. The mo'el says the bracha, the birchas mitzvah, and he does the ma'isa mitzvah. But shechita is not a birchas mitzvah. It's a bircha shevach v'adah, thanking Hashem for the opportunity of the shechita, of not eating nevela. And since it's a bircha shevach v'adah, anybody could say it. It's not attached to the ma'isa mitzvah. It's a bircha zamatir. So why don't we say it now, today, at 12:15 on a Monday afternoon? Because we like to put a bircha shevach v'adah in a context. That's all. It's in a certain context. When we're doing shechita, now is an appropriate time. Anybody could say that. I could do a shechita, and you could say a bracha. Anyone could say a bracha here. A woman could say a bracha. It's all fine. A woman could do shechita also. We'll get to maybe on Thursday, I think. So the Taz says it's a birchas shevach v'odah. It's the bracha, and it's a matir. And therefore, that's why you'll have to separate it from the shochet and the ma'isa mitzvah itself. And he brings an example of the model of a Masada Kedushin who says the bracha on Erisin, but he's not getting married. So shouldn't the chasam be saying the birchas Erisin? He's the one getting married. He's about to perform the mitzvah of Kedushin. Let him say the bracha. How could the Masada Kedushin say the bracha? Elamai, he assumes, machlokas amam rabid, Bidi assumes, that birchas Erisin is a birchas shevach voda, and that's why you can separate it from the mitzvah. So again, the Taz holds that shechita is a birchas shevach voda, and therefore you'd assume that the shechita itself is only a matir, not a mitzvah. We'll do maybe do one more. All right, we'll do one more. Last one, quick one. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Yutes Sif Hei says if a person speaks between shechita and shechita, he shechs, says a bracha ala shechita, he shechs it, then he speaks. Do you have to say another bracha or not? Was that considered a hepsik? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a machlokas. The machlokas in 2 days in Tosos and Pei Zayim and Aleph and Chulin, and we see that in its Perakisei Adam, you'll get there. So it's 2 days in the Tosos brought down Shulchan Aruch, do you have to say a new bracha or not? Is that considered a hesach adas or not? So the Taz explains, it's clear in Tosas as well, but Taz says it's a very clear way on the side of the page there. He says they're arguing whether or not Birchas HaShechita is like Birchas Tfilin. If you interrupt between Shayad and Sharosh, you have to say a new bracha. Or is it more like Birchas HaNenin where you don't have to say a new bracha? If you say a motzi and bread, you talk during a meal and have more bread, you don't have to say a new bracha. So is it like Birchas Tfilin where an interruption would demand a new bracha again? Or would it be like Birchas HaNenin, where you would not have to say new bracha? That's what the Taz says. So similarly, the machlokas is Birchas Shechita like Tefillin, Birchas HaMitzvah, and Shechita would be a mitzvah? Or is Birchas Shechita like Birchas HaNenin, which is simply a matir? That would seem to be the machlokas in the 2 days in Tosos, Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz, which again goes back to whether or not Shechita is a mitzvah or a matir, would then indicate whether the bracha is a birchas a mitzvah or a birchas shevach vodah on the heter of eating basar. One more, why not? Okay, sorry guys. Then one, I'll do last one, last machlokas, fine? There is a machlokas whether or not one says a bracha on a shechita that won't be mutter l'achila. What do you mean? Let's say you have an animal that's a trefa. The third parak, Elu Trefos, the third parak of Chulin talks about all the lachas of Trefos. A very complicated parak, very technical. You need to have the picture books I have here, those who want to learn that at all. Hard to understand all the Trefos. The common one is a punctured lung. And definition of a Trefa is if an animal can't live for more than 12 months, that's the definition of a Trefa. So let's say you have an animal that's a Trefa, but you do a good Shechita. It's a good Shechita. You cut all Simanim very seamlessly, but it's a Trefa. So it's not Mutati. So would you say a bracha on that mitzvah, on that shechita rather, or not? So the Shach writes in Simen Yud Tes Sifkat and Aleph that you say a bracha on the shechita, even though it's a trefa, because he said at least it's not going to be tameh anymore. When it comes to a nevela, an animal that's not shechted, an animal that dies, there's two results. Aser to eat is iser nevela, and there's also tuma, it's metameh. So even though this animal that you shechted properly, you can't eat because it's a trefa, it's still going to be tahor. It was effective, at least in terms of tumah v'tahara. And therefore, since it was a good shechita lagabe the tumah v'tahara, the shach thinks that one should say bracha in such a shechita. But the Taz says one doesn't say a bracha unless the basar is going to be permitted. Even though it's a good shechita. And even though the animal is not tameh, if it's not mutter to eat, then you don't say a bracha. What's pshat in the Taz? And we'll finish with this. It's a matir. The Taz is shitaso. Taz holds that shechita is a matir. That means a bracha is also a bircha shevach vada on the heter. And therefore, if you're going to shech the animal and it won't be mutter, so it's not a matir at all, and therefore he says one should not say a bracha on this shechita. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we're going to start a mishnah in Daf Yud Gimel, just one mishnah, and go through the sugya of shechitas afkum, and then Mirat Hashem Wednesday we will go start on Beis Aleph, talk about Hilchos Shechita by Nashim.